Hello, World Changers. This is Rethinking Africa with Nondyebo Gumede, a podcast series where I'll be interviewing young African youth who are doing remarkable things across the African continent. I'll be capturing authentic African stories and, of course, engaging on important discussions relating to the development of the African continent. So stay tuned, engage, and remember, Africa, your time is now. Don't go anywhere else. Just continue watching, okay? So I can add you to our live. This is take 20 of Rethinking with Africa. Rethinking Africa with Nondyebo Gumede, episode 2. We've been at this for hours, but finally, we're able to continue with this interview. Jeez. Literally forgotten everything I wanted to say. Okay, cool. Yes, this is episode 2 of Rethinking Africa with Nondyebo Gumede. 2 weeks ago, I had an interview with Olushola from Nigeria, who is an avid traveler and a male women's rights activist. So we got the opportunity to chat with him a bit, and he shared his opinions on the women's rights movement and, the role of the woman in society, and of course gave us a definition on what it means for him to be African. And today we have a discussion that is all about Sierra Leone, one of my favorite countries on the continent. I shared a few months ago about my Navigating Africa documentary, which I will capture over a 5-year period. So I will be traveling to all 55 countries on the continent in 5 years. That is my goal. And of course just capturing authentic African stories and running workshops and, having the time of my life. Sierra Leone was one of my, on my travel, it was on my travel wish for 2020, but unfortunately, you know what COVID-19 has done to us. And apart from COVID-19, the price, the flights are super expensive. So I will have to make a plan in the coming year. Okay, so Sierra Leone is has a special significance in the history of the transatlantic slave trade as a departure point for thousands of West African captives. Freetown, which is the capital city of Sierra Leone, was formed for repatriated former slaves in 1785. And Sierra Leone is a beautiful country, but unfortunately, over a 10-year period, it was involved in a brutal civil war, where more than 50,000 people lost their lives, more than 20 million people were displaced and had to flee to neighboring countries, and of course the infrastructure was left in shatters. But Sierra Leone also happens to be extremely rich in diamonds. In fact, it is one of the top 10 diamond nations in the world. Unfortunately, because of this, it has also been a source of conflict. You know, Blood Diamond, right? You know the movie? Yeah. But one of my favorite things, facts about Sierra Leone, is the fact that it is one of West Africa's fastest growing, it has one of West Africa's fastest growing tourism industry. Tourism industries. That's like a major yes for me. So I'll be joined today by a young man by the name Ibrahim from Sierra Leone. He has a very beautiful story to tell, and I'll be interviewing him over a few minutes, sharing about his life, his challenges. And yeah, if you guys have any questions relating to Sierra Leone, more than welcome to ask. He'll be answering our questions today. Okay, so let me. Let me invite him. Germano, don't start with me, please. Stay at home for what? I'm going to Sierra Leone in 2021. Ibrahim.
Oh my goodness.
Are
What a
you?
long journey.
No. At some point, I was so angry at you. I was just like, this guy, can you just watch the live? Just watch it so I can invite you. But no, anything but watching the live. You made it very complicated.
I was angry. I was angry at myself because, you know, you try very hard to see how we can make this thing a reality. And I was
Yes.
like, up and down on Instagram, Facebook, trying to connect myself. But, you know, maybe I was stupid about, you know, how this whole thing should work. You know, but thank God you were there and you made it possible.
I honestly thought at some point I was like, you know, I'm giving up on this interview. But I'm glad. I'm glad that I have an opportunity. Yeah.
I saw some sadness on your face, and I said, my boss, I said, oh,
Sadness,
you
anger.
know, this woman is,
That was an expression of anger. I was angry at you. Like, why are you making something so simple difficult? But it's fine.
you
It's
know, I've never been live on Instagram, not on Facebook, so I was finding it very difficult to
Yeah.
engage myself.
Okay. Okay, awesome. Unfortunately, a lot of our people have left us also because we've been trying this for some time now. So we have really disappointed. I'm sorry, guys, but I hope that you're able to watch this later on. Please do. Okay, so finally live with Ibrahim from Sierra Leone. I got to connect with him after he had applied. Why are you laughing? It's not funny. This is not a funny matter. This is I'm frustrated that I'm like trying to maintain, you know, my grace. Anyways, yeah, so interviewing a young man from Sierra Leone, Ibrahim, he's a creative, he's an activist. You know, he's a very inspiring guy that I got to connect with after he applied to one of the Travel for Change Adventures programs. So today we're having a chat with him, ask questions. I'm also going to be debunking some myths because I know for sure the only things that I've ever heard about Sierra Leone are definitely negative. So I am excited to hear from you today about, you know, the reality of Sierra Leone life from inside Sierra Leone. Right. Okay. So Ibrahim, please tell us more about yourself.
First of all, I want to say kudos and thank you for making this whole interview come to reality. And Ibrahim, sorry. I'm Ibrahim Sori Bangura, and my pen name is Cleffy. I was born in 1992 and in the northern province of Sierra Leone, Potloko district. I grew up there and spent all my life, almost all my life there. I spent about, you know, 23 years in the northern provinces before migrating to the capital city. Ibrahim is a poet and a musician, you know, a storyteller and a youth activist, a father of, you know, one beautiful daughter. And, you know, a street
Only get
positive
to
youth.
meet
Say again.
I'm saying hopefully get to meet her one day.
Sure, you'll meet her. Sure, you'll meet her. She's called Halima Fidela Abraham.
The
Yeah, both of them. Yeah. So
Okay,
Ibrahim,
interesting.
you know, Ibrahim is like I said, was born in 1992. I'm the last son, you know, and this is something very hard to say, you know, but I was just, anyways, let's proceed. You know, it's
The safe
all making
space.
me, yeah, it's.
This cousin of yours is gonna be another source of problems in this
Yeah,
discussion.
so
It's a bumpy today.
I'm finding it comfortable here because I've tried many places around, but you know, they seem to show me a bad signal, so I don't
Okay.
mind, you know, leaning here.
Okay, no problem. No, as long as you have the best signal moving forward, I don't want to have to start this over again. But okay, yeah. So, thank you for telling us more about yourself. Interesting story that you told me when we first, engaged, and a sad story as well. But I believe it's a story that can inspire many, many people who are watching today. And we'll have access to this video at some point. So yes, Freetown, the capital city, right? You grew up, you were born in this country, Sierra Leone, that has been afflicted with, 10 years of conflict, civil war. Where do you fall into that picture? How did it affect you? How did it affect your family? If it affected your family in any way?
Well, like I said, I was born in 1992, and God didn't make it possible for me to be, you know, part of the most, you know, tragic moment in Sierra Leone, which was the 11 Years' War. You know, it started in 1991. I only met the peacekeeping process, and I was part of the peacekeeping. You know, I was with almost, let me say, 20% of the UNAMSIN peacekeepers that came into Sierra Leone. I was with them, working with them, you know, trying to show them love, tell them, well, you're welcome here. Let's all be part of this process of peacekeeping. So, but yeah, I had gone SAMS, you know. At some point, I was with my uncle in a village when a bullet just passed by, you know. It was really a very frightening moment for me. I saw the bullet, you know, passed. So I was kind of very, very terrified, and I rushed to my uncle's legs, and I said, "Please, please, please, please protect me." So, you know, it wasn't funny, actually. The Sierra Leone War wasn't funny. You know, it's left people, you know, properties lost, you know, lives gone, families, you know, the lives of people, you know, were disrupted, and hopes, dreams, we are burnt. So it was really devastated anyways. And no one will want to be part of that again. And that's what we are fighting for right now. We don't want to be or either our generation to experience what happened for 11 years. You know, sounds of bullets, you know, cry, fire, and all that.
I hear you.
So, yeah.
Okay, so I just want to get a sense of just the context behind this war. Could you take us into, what gave rise to this war?
Basically, from what I learned in school, like I said, I was not fortunate to be part of the war. It's the war, like I said, started in 1991 and ended, I think 1991 to 2002, you know, a very bad civil war, you know, that began on March 23rd, when the Revolutionary Units Front called REF, you know, with support from the special court, special forces from Charles Taylor, according to what I, you know, learned, the National Patriotic Front of the Liberian NPEL, intervened in Sierra Leone. So, in an attempt to overthrow the Joseph Mommo government, and that resulted to this war, this 11 years war, and you know, left over 5,000, 50,000, you know, people dead and all that. So it's basically a political stuff that triggers all this tribalism, you know, being one to occupy everything, saying, no, I need to get this, and if I don't get this, this is what is going to happen. Like those, you know, tribal wars, community to community wars started all this stuff, you know.
I hear you. I hear you. So this Charles Taylor, Charles Taylor's from Liberia, right? Which is your neighboring
Yeah.
country. Yeah. So he was a rebel who built forces in order to overthrow the then existing government. Okay.
Yeah,
Ooh,
the Mama
I've seen,
government.
I've seen a lot of videos. There was a point when I was learning about these things in university, I was so drawn to them. So yeah, I spend a lot of time just, you know, trying to draw some information about this conflict. And of course, I saw some brutal things that were captured on
Yeah.
camera. I can't imagine having
So,
been there at the time to experience it. And even more so, I can't imagine you know, being affected by this war directly, in the form of losing people that I love, but also just, you know, also being displaced in my own country and having to flee to another country in order to find safety. But you are in 1992, which is a year after this war has began, right?
Yeah.
Can't see my face. David, you can't see my face. Why not? Okay. Sorry, I'm just replying to the comment. Can you see my face now? Am I
I
clear
can
enough for
see your
you?
face, but
You can see my face, but David, you
I
just
can see
sent
you.
a
Unless
comment.
I lean to the wall, you know, if I
Oh,
see your
okay. So
face. So,
you turned
you
your
know,
camera around. Okay, it's fine. It's
yeah.
fine. Okay, so you in 1992, you were born in 1992. This is a year after the war has started, right? From
After the war,
1991,
yeah.
yeah, to 2002. So you're a young
Yeah.
boy who's just existing. You are not, you're not fully aware about what's happening, but you have
No.
an experience where, you know, you're in the midst of this conflict.
Yeah, I do.
And then at which point do you move to Freetown and live on the streets? Because that one, I was like, oh my goodness. So you had to, you
Well,
know, my screen is halfway, David. What do you mean? I can see myself, like.
I heard about, especially my mom, I heard about my mom, I heard about my dad, just heard the stories told by my grandmom. And also, I've been always that determinant, somebody who wants to impact other people's lives, myself and the young one. So in 2011, I sat to my West Africa senior school exams. So, but unfortunately, I wasn't able to make it up, like having the requirements, and because of the how things was going around, no better, you know, support to go to school, no better support to focus, like the hunger, the disease and all that, sickness and all that, made me, you know, relaxed and all that. So I in 2011 when I sat to my West, I told my uncle asked me what I want to do. I said, well, you know what, I want to become an IT expert. And he was like, wow. He said, you know what, go and join the army, be part of the force. And I said, really? I don't want to be part of the force. You know, I don't have to hold gun. I don't want to get into this. And he said, well, you know what? Go and find your mom.
Okay, Ibrahim, we're losing you a bit.
I had to leave the village and I came to the capital city in 2011. And
okay, Ibrahim, sorry, I'm gonna ask you just backtrack a bit. I'm gonna ask you to just backtrack a bit because there was a point where we couldn't hear you, that with the connection was a problematic. Okay.
Okay.
So, can recall is you, your uncle saying that you should join the army. I think, yeah, you can pick it up from there. Yeah.
Yeah, he said, you know what, your uncle is part of the army, so you go and be part of him and you should be part of them. I said, no, you know, my body is not ready for that and I'm not ready for that and I don't want to be ready for that. I want to do what I love doing, not calling guns. You know, he said, well, go and find your money and pay for yourself, do your IT stuff. I said, okay. And I left the village in 2011. When I came in Freetown, you know, I was like a hungry lion looking for jobs. Like, no matter what the job could be, you know, I had to engage into, you know, street hazards job, like masonry, concreting floors, fetching water for people just to save money so that I can do this my IT stuff, and I jump into security job and all that, but I couldn't make it. And I spent about 5 years to 6 years on the streets, you know, sleeping on the streets, mm-hmm. up and down, you know, looking for a greener pasture so that I can just to save money to do. IT expert, and I can see that today. So on the streets, 5 to 6 years, I was hopeless, nowhere to go, nothing to do, burnt dreams, nothing reality, just seeing myself, you know, like a ghost walking around, you know. Yeah. I was mixed up. Honestly, I was mixed up. So, due to my passion for change, and I believe in my creator, God, he made it possible for me. A friend of mine told me about a charity organization called Way Out. It's a UK charity organization, but it's based here, and they're offering professional media skills to disadvantaged youth. The organization is called Way Out, and I joined Way Out in 2014. You know, I was coming to Way Out actually, but you know, I couldn't find it, you know, helpful because of all the traumas and all that. I couldn't stay, so I went and tried to refresh my memory and all that. Later, I joined, and there, you know, I started gathering myself, my spirit and all that. I started doing creative writing, graphic design and music production. So here I am today. From all those you know, harsh storm, you know, all the scars I had, but I'm here today now, and I can say I'm proud of myself. And And I'm so proud of my uncle for saying not to me, and he made me who I am today. I'm still grateful for that, for denying, saying no, I'm not gonna help you. Go and find you. You know, so I'm
proud of you now. Too. Definitely proud of you too. I'm fascinated by how you approach life. So I think for somebody else who may have been in the same situation would have said, well, my uncle didn't support me. You would have been angry at your uncle, but you were able to see, you know, his refusal as a way to kind of push you to independence and self-sustainability. But you know, there are a lot of gaps in the story that I want to tap into if you're comfortable. Of course,
I'm comfortable.
is this too personal or no. But okay, so you're living with your uncle in this period
Yeah, I was.
where your siblings, where are your parents?
Come again. Something just break.
Okay, no, I'm saying that during this period where you're staying with your uncle who's supporting you, where are your parents? Where are your siblings?
Well, like I said, I lost my parent when I was 2 years old. I didn't see my parents, and that has affected me a lot. I cry more than I eat. I cry more than I sleep. Thinking about my parents, thinking about especially my mom, because always my sister. The time I was with my uncle, I was with my uncle in the village, up to when I turned 23 years, coming to 27, and I was still with my uncle. He was kind of, taking care of me, but it has been a very difficult life with my uncle. My educational career, when I was hit with him, I dropped. Imagine I was in class two, and I dropped out of school for 3 years just because of 1,000 leons. And I was like, oh, what am I doing in this world? What am I going to achieve? And I dropped for three years. I dropped out of school for 3 years because of 1,000. During the time when our teachers used to ask us to, take our, they used to call it handwork, like handicraft, something like that. Buying soap, at that time, soap was around 500, 1,000. So I was asked to take that money there. I told my uncle, and he said no. So I dropped out of school 3 years. And what made me start going to school again was sports. A friend of mine saw me. He saw the skill in me. I was very, very much, skillful in terms of high jump, long jump. So, start going to school. I was with him all this while, and my sister was in the capital city, and my brother too was in the capital city. So, we were three in number, and I was, and I. I'm the last one, and the one I supposed to say this is my young one. According to the story I had, my mom was, she lost her life in the process of delivering.
Oh, wow.
And it's all,
Condolences, Rahim.
yeah.
They're very
At
heavy
some
to.
point. At some point, I kind of see my, myself like, I'm not useful in the society. But at some point again, I said, no, I think I'm useful. God did this for a reason.
You
So, and
absolutely useful.
my dad passed. My dad was a very successful fisherman, and he lost his life in the sea. He lost his life in the sea. So all that life inspired me. It all made me strong, and so
Tragedy after tragedy after tragedy. But I just see a young man who is filled with so much hope. Jeez. Wow, I think, go on.
So me, be with my parents, like I said, I was passionate about change. When I left the village on the streets and all that, I discovered most of my hidden talent, like writing poetry, you know. And I met this angelic woman from the who came to volunteer at this organization. She was, she was so, you know, I mean, she's precious, you know. Anyway, she's my mother now, because she has been encouraging me all this while, and she discovered that my talent of writing poems, you know. yeah, so she encouraged me, and my first poem was shortlisted, you know, for a prestigious Commonwealth, you know, short poems. You know, it was like a dream come.
Okay, sorry, Ibrahim, we're losing you a bit.
You know,
we're losing you a bit with the connection.
Oh my!
Just
oh
go
my
back
goodness.
Again. No, it's fine. We'll get through this interview.
Yeah.
So backtrack again.
I don't.
You were sharing.
I don't mind spending the rest of the day today talking to you. I don't mind, because I'm feeling happy. Yeah, I'm feeling happy talking to you right now, you know, because this is what has been developing my life, meeting people that encourages young people at the same time, you know. So yeah, so where am I going to start again?
Okay, so you were still sharing about this amazing young woman that you come across, who has now become your mother. She has just, she's become a mother figure in your life and has inspired you in so many ways. And your
All
poem
right.
is shortlisted.
Yeah. So,
where was your poem shortlisted?
That was in 2017. That was my first poem. You know, it's called Home. It's about Sierra Leone and my village and the life. The advantageous creatures around, you know, and that all I try to, you know, unite all those pain, happiness, make a bit craft something beautiful for people to relate. You know, that was in 2017, and again, one of my poems, it's a propaganda poem called Secrets and Lies, was published online by Write the City, and in that process, you know, writing a couple of my poems have been published online by Praxis magazine, like Childhood Dress, you know, Kids Wishes, and if you go on Google, just type Ibrahim Suri Bangura Cleffy Childhood Dress, which kids' wishes and moments I miss uncle and life in my new home, and I have a lot of poems published now. So I think I'm trying to fulfill my dreams, you know. I just want to be happy doing all this creativity stuff. So this woman has been so helpful, and you know, she even, you know, when she saw this flyer you designed for this interview, and I sent it to her, she was like, oh, I'll be very happy to be part of this. And I said, you made it. Yeah, you made me proud. And I'm going
That's
to tell this woman about you. You know, I hope you're recording
this. I would love to meet you. Is she based in Sierra Leone?
No, she's based in UK. She's called Stella Hardy.
Okay,
you can chat for her on Facebook.
Oh, that is
you
awesome.
Know, and I said, I'm going to tell this woman about you, and you know, what you've done for me. And you know, she was like, she was crying. I said, you don't need to cry. I just have to be honest. You helped me. You saved me. And I must be honest. And, you know, I will never forget you. I will never forget you in my life. So, yeah. So this woman has been my fulcrum, you know, lifting me up all this while, encouraging me, even supporting my dreams, anyway, she has been helpful. She has been helpful. Let me just stop there.
Man, I would love to connect with her, definitely. I love connecting with people who give their hearts to others, in servant leadership. Jeez. Where do I even start now? I feel like my head is just all over the place. My goodness. Okay, so this young man from Sierra Leone, you're born in 1992, you lose your parents to tragedies, so many different tragedies, and you find yourself in the situation where you now have to leave home and live on the streets for 5 to 6 years, just trying to make a life in order, to become somebody in life. And you encounter this amazing woman, who is able to take you under her wing, and becomes a mother figure in your life. But you've achieved a lot of great things in the creative space. I'm a creative myself, so I love connecting with young creatives from other different regions on the continent, especially West Africa. I am like in love with West Africa just because of the richness and richness in culture, and the energy that you guys give. But yeah, an extremely inspiring story that you have, and a story that I know people watching here today will be touched by as well. But I know that although you've experienced so many different tragedies throughout your life, you're still going through a few things right now. I don't know if you're comfortable sharing about that too, but the purpose of this is, I
I'm
want
okay.
to bring your story in the light so that people who may be willing to assist in any way,
All right.
will assist. But before you go into that, I just want to make kind of get a sense of what it is that I've covered. Okay, so yes, you've shared about your life on the street. You've shared about the Sierra Leone, the effects of the Sierra Leone. Told us a wonderful, lengthy story about yourself and your challenges. Okay, so now I want you to tell us about your current life. Like, what is happening in your current life? What are the challenges? What are the positives that you are currently experiencing? You mentioned to me that you have a wife, a beautiful wife, a beautiful daughter. Blessings, great blessings in your life, but they've also come with challenges that you've had to kind of now carry as a man. So what's happening? Tell us more about your current life. What is happening right now?
Sorry, my. All right, we're back again, yeah?
Okay, yeah.
All right, my current life. From all those, harsh storms, scars in my heart, but there's still something positive for me, like me. I'm that kind of, like I said, I'm that kind of man that wants a very peaceful life. So, and from the fact that I'm coming from a Muslim background, I never wanted to, be roaming around with women. So I made a choice and said, I need to get a home. The home is a woman. I had to go out. Now I went out and in shouts of love, and I put this in front of God, and I say, God, look, you know me. I don't want to be that kind of guy that passes around, with a lot of women. I just want a single woman that I can call my mother, my friend, my everything. And he answered me. I went to look for a place, and I met this woman. She was going to school, and I said, hi. So we had a conversation, and we got into love, and she's not my wife my wife to be, not yet my wife, my wife to be, I need to marry her. And now we've got a beautiful, one beautiful daughter called Halima Stella Bangura, and the Stella is the name of that woman I told you about. You know, I love it so much. So
beautiful. You know, so beautiful, yeah.
So
man, I love you. Okay. No problem. Oh, I get so excited when people share about their love stories. Like, I am the biggest hopeless romantic ever. Okay. So yeah. It's great hearing about how people meet and, you know, build a friendship and fall in love. And just knowing also what an amazing role she's played in Ibrahim's life, in a life that is filled with so much tragedy. You're back.
So, I'm sorry. I think my phone is about to go off now, so I need to make it very quick. So I met this woman, okay. And we're having a very beautiful life with this beautiful daughter. And also, I'm into this activist stuff, trying to protect the rights of women and girls. Mm-hmm. So since I had that passion for change, and I developed and I found I found my organization called Future Leaders Initiative, like I said, that is about to, and that is working to protect, promote, empower, and educate women, youth, children about human rights issues, you know, and all that stuff. Yeah. So I've been around this life, and I think it's a very beautiful life for me, because, you know, I feel good giving back to society, protecting, you know, children, you know, I didn't have that opportunity for someone to kind of, you know, be around me like a mother.
Yeah.
And stuff. So I'm into this life, protecting women and girls, youth, educating them about, like I said, human rights issue, also giving them leadership skills and entrepreneurship skills and all that. So this is what I'm doing currently. You know, all my life is based on the humanitarian work. You know, this whole rape issue that is, you know, threatening the future of Sierra Leone, young children. So I'm trying to see how I can be part of this movement of change makers, you know, so that our young ones can have a very peaceful society. You know, recently I hosted an international youth conference that are based on youth against violence in Sierra Leone, because what's happening right in Sierra Leone, all this bloody violence, it's not good for us. So I try to engage stakeholders, other youth leaders from different organizations, and we talk about how to curtail the violence within our communities. So
yeah,
like basically this is what I'm doing right now. You know, humanitarian work, my story writing, poems, because that's what all makes me feel happy. So
wow. I love how you tapped into gender-based violence, which is a huge conversation in South Africa right now. Geez, in the past months, especially since during the COVID-19 and the lockdown, we've had a rise in the number of women who are either murdered or being raped. And it is a true thing, a heartbreaking thing to witness, young women's lives being cut short because of the selfishness of men. But yeah, amazing work that you're doing, and I know that you don't have much battery left. I think my battery is also about to die. But an amazing chat with you, an amazing, amazing, amazing chat with you. My goodness. Okay. But before you go, so one thing I want to ask you before you go is, before we go into the myths, right, you're going to be debunking a few myths about, or stereotypes. I don't know if it's true or or a lie, but I'd like to call them myths about Sierra Leone. So you're either going to say yes, it's true, or no, it's false. But before that, what, just looking back at your life right now, reflecting on the challenges that you've encountered, but also the successes, the wonderful things that you've been able to achieve, the amazing people that you have been able to encounter, and the change, impact that you've been able to make, in people's lives. What would you say to your younger self? So that's the first question. And the second one is, how can we help people who are looking, who are watching this video? Who will be watching this video at some point? How can they help you, to kind of alleviate the stresses that you're going through?
All right. First, let me just, talk to the young ones out there.
So this is what you say to your younger self, looking back at your younger self. What advice would you give yourself?
Well, the advice I would give myself is just, focus. Don't oppress. Don't stand to be oppressed, and be generous. Be kind. Don't lie to your God. Have time for your God. No matter the struggles, be hopeful. Dream as you walk along. Don't be afraid to dream. Be strong. If you've lost all your parents, be hopeful. You can still make it. No matter what, you can still make it. Just focus. Just focus and work hard.
Just focus. Profound words indeed. Just focus. Because life can be extremely challenging. But it's important to know what it is that you want in life and to go for it at all costs. Thank you for that, Ibrahim. Thank you so much. So how can we help you? People watching this video, how can we help you?
All right. Ibrahim is a youth activist working to promote and protect and empower youth, women, and children. So basically, I'm struggling, one, to have a good place to sleep, like for my daughter especially. I'm living in a place where it's very dumpy. This rainy season, the rooftop just go off, and the place is leaking somehow. And so I'm kind of afraid for my daughter. So I really want to get another place, like rent a very peaceful, dry, safety place for my family, like I said, for my daughter especially, because I love her so much, and I don't want anything to happen to her. So I want a place to live, a place that is for my home. Like, I need to rent a place, and also, my education stuff. I really want to see how I can empower myself so that I can promote my daughter when she get older. She's 1 year 4 months right now, so in 3 years' time she might be going to school, and I want to educate her, in the best possible way I could. So, and also, I want to see how best the woman I'm living with get empowerment. So
Yes, absolutely.
it's not only about me, it's not only about my daughter, but also the woman I'm living with. And I'm really fighting very hard to see how best she can go back to school, continue her education, because it's very hard here. So
Yeah.
I really need help. I really need help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I think for me, these stories really touch me so much, and I wish I personally was at the capacity where I could just give money to support people, who are facing all these different challenges, because I hear so many sad stories all the time, and it really breaks my heart. But I know that, you know, as we progress as an organization, that we will get to a point where we're able to provide more relief and support for young people who want to make something of themselves but are challenged in different ways. But what I can do right now is, you know, to get your story out there as much as I can, and man, to connect you with people, possibly connect to you with people who will be able to assist in some way, because I know there's always someone out there, you know, that God might just touch, to provide that kind of support for you and whatever support that they're able to provide. But I do wish you all the best, Ibrahim. Stay in contact. I want to meet you when I come to Sierra Leone, hopefully next year, and get to
Oh
connect with
my
your family
goodness.
as well.
I will not wait. I will not wait to receive you. I will not wait to give you a big hug and
Oh my goodness.
our African dance and all that. I will not wait.
Yes, I
Like,
can't wait. I cannot wait, literally. Okay, now we've reached the very end of our session, and I'm just so sad because I had such a great talk with you. But I do want you to debunk myths about Sierra Leone, because I know there's so much negative news surrounding the country. So I'm just gonna read the sentence out, and then you're gonna say true or false, right? You got it. Okay, cool. So the first one is Sierra Leone is a war zone.
True.
True.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
Okay,
Yeah,
okay.
it's a was.
Okay. But war zone as in you guys are still in war.
Well, yeah, war is taking place somehow in the community, and that's really disturbing us. Like the political violence and all that, I call that war. So
Okay.
we are not safe right now.
I completely get you. So you using the term war to just describe the conflicts, maybe not, you know, violence, literal war, but
No.
the issues that still lie,
Yeah, the
and
issue that still
these different
lies.
communities. Okay, get you. Everyone in Sierra Leone has Ebola.
No.
Okay. Sierra Leone is dangerous for tourists. Please think about this one before you say it, because I mean, if you say it's dangerous for
No.
tourists, then I'm like, no way, I'm not coming. So it's
No,
not.
no, no.
It's not
No,
dangerous.
it's not.
Okay, perfect. Okay, the last one. People in Sierra Leone are illiterate.
No.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much for that. Thank you for debunking those myths and making it clearer for us who are really interested in traveling to Sierra Leone. All the best with your future endeavors, all you've planned this year, and just
Look at my hands. Yeah, before you go.
okay.
If anyone out there wants to come to Sierra Leone, please come to Sierra Leone. This is a very beautiful place. We're trying very hard to keep this community, this society, this country a very peaceful one for everyone, because there is so much you can achieve here. The love, the unity, the sea, the sea and all that. So
It's
please, if you want to come to Sierra Leone, please come to Sierra Leone. Come and explore the beauty of Sierra Leone. There's so much you can achieve here. There's so much you can take back home.
Yeah.
Come, let's interact. Please come, let's interact. I'm calling you up. Come,
Coming.
let's interact.
We are coming. Akhisanang, I know, colleague Akhisanang saying we are there. We are coming. We're coming to Sierra Leone. Fingers crossed next year, things must just come together.
Wofa, 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 yendi, wofa, wofa,
Yeah, now I need you to translate for me. What did you just say?
wofa, All right, Wofa, it's a so-so language. It means come, 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 come.
Wofa.
Wofa, Wofa,
Okay.
Wofa, Wofa. And Dirnu, Dirnu, Dirnu is a Tamil word meaning come, 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 come. You know, so I try to.
Thank you for, teaching me a
Again?
bit about language as well. But
All
yeah,
right.
thank you so much for your time, and I look forward to engaging with you in the future and meeting you
All
and just
right.
working with you as well. Okay, have
Thank
a
you very
lovely,
much.
lovely,
Thank
lovely
you.
day and a great prayer
Thank
as
you very
well. And
much for having me.
praying right now,
Mwah.
right?
Mwah. Thank you. Mwah.
Please pray for us
All
the side as well. Bye-bye.
right. Bye-bye.
Suñu josa suñu doole suñu afkan.